Don't you know me, Kansas City? I'm the new Berlin Wall. Try and tear me down. I was born on the other side of a town ripped in two. I made it over the great divide. Well, now I'm coming for you.
Everyone, this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast, the official podcast of GManReviews.com, featuring, of course, myself, Douglas, and
Damien,
and Andrew, of course.
Okay, and course. You know, Andrew, our fearless leader, usually
or
is
what?
The one. Okay, sorry, our frightened to death leader.
Of course,
is usually the one to
fearless.
Lead us in on this eventful night, but I thought, as you know, he lost our special celebrity guest, and he, you know, dragged me up here after working for so long today, that I would start it off, just, you know, to move things, shake things up a little.
You should ramble on a bit more.
Yes, I am going to ramble.
All right.
And you know why I'm rambling? Because there's a red stripe in my hand.
Oh, so this week is red stripe?
Well, it is for me. Nobody else has a red stripe, I noticed.
No drinking for me this week. So this week what I thought we'd do is we'd have a discussion about David Mamet, we'd go news trailers, and then we're going to eventually review Hedwig and the Angry Inch. However, Damien has a story wants to tell us.
Yes, right.
So this is about today.
Right, so last week I was supposed to be on, but didn't make it. We all hate Carib here. We go to Carib because we have to. Because there is no other choice. And Carib is really bad. And I have decided never to go again. When Watchmen came out, I went to see it opening day. And then a week later, like a junkie, I decided I need to see this movie again. So I went and there was a bit of a rainstorm, and so the light kept going out. This is at a movie theater where I paid my money.
Wait, the light as in the power?
As in the power.
The power supply.
Right, the power
to
theater kept going on. So what would happen is the light would go away, you'd be in the darkness. Then it would come back, and all the lights would turn on, and the curtains would do the open shut thing, and the lights would go and dim. And the movie would continue playing from wherever it was when the light went out. But I'd seen the movie already, so it was amusing to me. But I know there's like another 50 people in the theater. There's no chance that those 50 people had seen the movie already.
Because I think we're the only people I've ever met in Jamaica who go to movies more than once.
Right.
Yeah. We actually went to Star Trek twice this weekend.
So I said, I was laughing because no one else was getting up. So I said to myself, whenever these people start complaining, you know, I'll complain. But everyone just sat there as if, you know, Carib had a right to not show them the movie that they're paying for. So after about the seventh time this happened, I decided, you know what? I need to get my money back because this is ridiculous. And I went to the ticket counter and I said, you know, I can't watch a movie and I'd like my money back. To which they replied, no, I can't get my money back. I said, no, I don't think you understand. I can't watch a movie that I paid for, so I need my money back. They're like, we don't do that. I said, can I speak with our manager? This lady came out and gave
me... Is this a white lady, by the way?
Yes.
Miss Paisley. I got her name this weekend.
Don't give a good goddamn. She came out and she's like, no, we don't return money. I said, no, I can't watch a movie because the light keeps going away. And she looked at me and said, it's not their fault.
Did you say the retort that I would come back with is, so is it my fault?
No.
You didn't say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I said, whose fault is it?
Ah, okay. That's a nice neutral response.
If, I said, ma'am, I work at a hotel, and if for some reason we fail to accommodate the guest, say the light goes away and the AC doesn't work, or the television doesn't work, I can then look at the guest and say, it's not our fault. Because we have a generator and you have a generator. So why isn't it working? She doesn't know. So, you know, but there's nothing you can do. I said, I need back my money. She's like, no, no. What we normally do is I'll sign your ticket and whenever you come back. And you can come back and watch the movie. I said, I don't think I want to watch this movie again. She said, no, don't worry. You can come back at any time and watch the movie. So, and watch whatever movie. So she signs the ticket and I leave. A couple weeks later, Duplicity came out and I said, alright, it's probably the first good movie to come out since Watchmen. Let me go watch that movie. I got to the ticket counter and one of the girls tell me, no, I can't get in with the ticket. I said, no, no, I don't think you understand. Your manager signed the ticket and said, whenever I come back, I can watch a movie. She looks at me and says, no, they're only valid for 30 days. I said, where on this ticket do you say valid for... When she signed it, she didn't say valid for 30 days. And she didn't write it anywhere. So I'd like to see the movie. And you need to let me in. And she's like, no, no, it's only supposed to last... I said, all right, let me speak with the manager. So this guy comes out. All right. Who is a bit of an ass.
The black dude.
But as everyone will tell you, there's no bigger ass than myself.
Before you continue, I just want to say, this goes to show the crappiness of Jamaican products. How long did it take us to finish Bavaria last week?
It took us at least an hour.
I want more. Anyway, continue.
Bastard.
You can go downstairs and get another beer. I'm sure.
No, it's only
one
red stripe lights in the fridge, man.
Right. Anyways, David.
So when I spoke to Amak, like, look, she signed the ticket. She said, whenever I come back, I can watch a movie. I'd like to watch a movie. I don't understand why she's telling me that it only lasts. She's like, yeah, she was supposed to stamp it with a 30-day stamp out. I said, look, none of this was explained to me. And even if that is the case, it's not on my ticket. So, I'd like to go in and watch a movie. It's like, that's against policy and whatever, whatever. So, being a typical Jamaican, I decided to shout at this man as people were walking in and create a scene. And to avoid this, he said, all right, you know what? I'm just going to let in. So, I went inside the theater. And this is where the real problem that I have with Carib is Carib has not changed anything inside their theater for more than 10 years now. The video is nowhere near HD. The audio is atrocious. Right? The only thing that cannot easily be replicated inside your house is the size of the screen, which is unnecessary because the size of the screen doesn't give you a crisper picture. So, Carib is terrible. There's no real reason for us to go to Carib outside of the fact that we get to watch the movies early, which is a fallacy because Carib doesn't normally bring us up these movies early anyway. Right?
Except for Dragon Ball.
Of course.
And Uninvited. Oh,
so,
wait. Whoops.
So, I got inside. Of course, shitty video, terrible audio. Because there's no body dying in this movie. There's no gunplay. So the speakers are rendered useless. As you can barely hear what the people are saying over the PA system that Carib has set up. Then there's intermission. I sat there. Then after intermission, the curtains open. There's the audio from the movie playing. No video. I'm like, what on earth are these people doing? And it goes on for 5 minutes, and then the video, then the curtains close and open. At no point do they stop the audio. So the curtains close and open, and the video shows up. So there's 5 minutes of the movie that I haven't seen, and can barely hear. So I said, no. This needs to stop. Because the video came back, and you know the green line that is in every movie now. We got to care. It had jumped from one corner to the middle and then it jumped again in like 2 seconds to the end. I'm like, no, you know what? I get him back my money. So I walked out and I spoke with the manager and I said, what just happened with the projection? I'm like, I just missed 5 minutes of the movie. What exactly is happening? Him don't know. I said, excuse me. No, no, no. You're the manager. What do you mean by you don't know? What are you going to do to fix it? Since you're telling you no, what can be done to fix it? Because I'd like to see the movie that I paid for. He's like, well, you know, these things happen from time to time. And there's really nothing we can do about it. I said, all right, look what's going to happen. You guys need to give him back my money. No. Alright? What I'm going to do, I'm never coming back here. You have shitty video. You have shitty audio. The only benefit to come here is that I see the movies early. And I don't need to come here because there's people outside selling the same movie I'm paying $600 for $100. Alright? I don't need you. I don't need your shitty service. I don't need your terrible video. Just give me back my money and let me leave. And you won't have to worry about me, right? Coming back here or disappointing me because the shit's never going to happen again. He said, oh, you don't need to use that kind of language. I said, no, no, I don't think you understand. I'm never coming back. So I want back my money. We don't refund money. I said, I heard you say that the first time. Well, what's going to happen is Consumer Affairs is 5 minutes away from where I work. And I'm going to report it to them. And they're going to come down here and they'll have to do a report, which is going to cost you more than $600, I can guarantee you. So give me my money now, or you can speak with the consumer affairs people, and then I'm still going to get back my money. Right? And he's like, oh no. I said, no, I don't think you... Listen, I want back my money now. I don't want to hear anything else more from you. Right? I don't want your service. I don't want a sorry. I don't want no apology. Just give me back my money. And he's like, oh, all right, because you're... I said, no, 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 no. And I go down to the counter and he's like, yeah, give me money. And finally, me, oh, you enjoy your day, sir. And there's a guy outside the gate that had DVD selling. And I took up one and handed him $100 and waved it at him and just threw away the DVD. There's just no way. Like, care about... been annoying me for a while now because of the video and audio quality, and I mean it's just gotten worse over like the past month because when I can recreate a far better movie experience in my house, then there's just no point. I have far better video, I have phenomenal audio. Why would I pay $600 to go watch a movie that's going to be late more than likely and in terrible quality? I just don't, and have to put up with this god awful service. So I'm not going back. I'm going to vote with my dollar and I'm going to keep it in my pocket. I'll buy DVDs. I'll buy the bootleg from the man who's selling them outside. It doesn't really matter because it's still going to look better than what Caribou have to offer.
I'm with you in spirit, my friend.
Never going back.
My response to this story.
Boy,
I'm never going.
You
back.
See, I'm on your wavelength, you know, but I just haven't gotten to your breaking point.
Right, I'm never going back.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Like I bought some headphones, yeah. Some high end headphones, like last month, and I mean, it makes an absolute world of difference hearing proper audio when you're watching movies, and just sitting in the theater, I was just so annoyed. Because of how terrible the art. I mean, if Carib had spent the money and fixed one other problem, like give us HD video or give us HD audio, just fix one. I'd have put up with shitty video for an HD audio or vice versa. But they've done nothing and they don't care. That is obvious to everybody.
I love that they don't know how to open curtains 100%.
Right.
You know?
So there's video playing on the curtain.
What the fuck?
You saw me complaining to the movie last weekend.
Or there's the constant green line that is in the movie. Or at the top of the movie, it's dark because the projection isn't proper. I mean, there's just so much wrong with Carib.
You know what I love too? Is the fact that anytime you switch from the trailers into the movie, you see a guy do that.
Right.
You know, you see the hand in front of the lens, changing the lens so that, you know, you have a different thing. Also, Andrew pointed this out to me recently and I've noticed it more and more and more and more. The trailers, the audio is shite, you know, compared to the rest of the movie. But I think what it is that all of their freakers just don't... they're shorting them or something. So no. the audio that comes out of the front speakers are always distorted. But then when you have the movie, you have the surround sound, right. So you don't really hear the front speakers so much.
What happened is, because they have to fill that larger space with sound, that the system that they bought was, all it was supposed to convey is, you know, the loud. So, like in action movies, when there's a lot of bangs and things, it conveys that because you have all the boom and whatever. But those same speakers are then put in charge of mids and highs. And there's just no way those speakers can handle them. So, whenever they channel, because with the trailers, they don't have the surround sound. Whenever they channel them to one set of speakers, all the problems with those speakers are put to bear. There's no way for them to mask the fact that the speakers are terrible. So they're putting all of this sound out of two shitty speakers. when it's around, it doesn't sound as bad. Yeah. But the second you hear it coming from, they isolate it to one. It's just terrible. Yeah. I mean, Carib is just so bad. It's just so... And the worst part about it is that the parent company Palace, they had other cinemas that are far worse than
Carib. Than Carib, yes. Right? There are, for example, Sovereign I've is told nonsense. You about Sovereign. I reached that point with Sovereign. I'm never going to Sovereign again.
I made that decision with Sovereign a long time.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they shut down Island because I reached that point there too.
I actually liked Island when I was still going there.
I've had a better movie experience at the drive-in than at Carib. I can't put up with it any longer. There's just the fact that I can't spend $50,000 and destroy a company. I mean, they're a big company.
Hang on. Let's just translate for seeing as most of our listeners are US. That's about 500 US. To let you know.
So, 500 US can guarantee me better picture and better audio than Carib will ever and can ever give me. And that's madness.
What I think people really need to realize is one of my biggest problems, right, is not Carib. Actually, Carib is a problem, right?
However,
the thing is that
our mentality.
No one is going to... Carib is never going to get off their ass and fix it if more people don't get up and argue. And as you said, you were sitting in the Watchmen theater. It went on at least 7 times and you were the first person to get up and leave the theater. And remember last year when we went to the Rocker?
Yeah.
With the audio, I actually wrote about it. I wrote an article on the site about it, saying how I would not review the Rocker because of the audio problems that occurred during the film.
And it got to the point where Andrew complained, and even I'm not a big complainer. No. I went out and complained.
I get up after it gets past, you know, a minute of ridiculousness. You know, I mean, I realize I live in Jamaica and I realize these people are working with systems that I could afford. So after 10 years of using the system and it needs changing, I'm not going to do shit. But, you know, it's the mentality of the customer. The mentality of thinking that, as you said, Carib has the right to fuck us over every week.
But the real problem with Carib is they're a monopoly. It's the same thing that Cable and Wireless used to do. Yeah. Cable and Wireless is a phone company that we have here. And for years and years, they were the only one. So there's no workaround. But the second they had real competition, right? They've been blown out of the water. I'm sure that if another company decides to get into this movie, in showing movies, and says, you know what, we're going to give you high-end audio, high-end video, for less than what Carib is offering, we'd never see anybody in Carib again.
Alright, question. Do you think it's feasible for a company to come in and offer high-end audio and video for the same or less than what Carib charges people to go to a movie?
Yes, because it's high-end audio and video. It's not like there's a lot of moving parts. Right, you buy the system and the system is set. You don't have to move things around, you don't have to adjust a lot of things. You just put it in and it goes. So it's one time investment and then sit back.
You're assuming that's where the costs are. What about getting the movies themselves?
No, costs that are related to getting movies. Like the business model of getting movies on whatever.
It's a percentage business.
That's not where they'd make back their money, because they'd have to spend basically the same amount of money that Caribs spends. But where they'd get back the money is the fact that people would leave Carib and come there. So they'd made back their money in numbers. I mean, I'm sure Carib still exists. When was the last time we went to like a packed movie in Carib?
Star Trek was packed this weekend when we went.
Yeah, it was.
So I mean, they have 5 theaters running, and most of the time they're packed.
Other than summer.
I have to say though, I have actually reviewed Palace Amusement's financial statements, and they don't make money. The first time they made money, I believe, was last year, and it wasn't a lot.
The Dark Knight saved them.
Yeah. So it's not as if Palace Amusement is like just, you know, making money hand over fist. And I'm not saying that that's a reason that they're crap. They are crap, and they should be better. But I'm just saying that you can't assume that another company would make money using the same business
model. And I mean, we have to talk about the money making in Jamaica, because Jamaica is a very bootlegging country. Like, I mean, I talk to a lot of my friends, people don't go to the movies. And it's not because it's not at the movies, more that they don't want to pay the $600.
Yeah.
Or they know they can download it and get the movie. And some people don't even want DVD quality. They will download a cam and watch the movie.
Right. But the thing is, there's a lot of times where people really don't know what they want until it's offered to them. We've seen look at Starbucks. Who knew that they needed premium coffee every 3 steps?
I keep thinking of Louis Black's joke whenever you mention Starbucks.
Right.
You know what I'm talking
about? The end of the world, a Starbucks across from the Starbucks. Thank you, Louis Black. But I can, part of the, it might be in the back of their minds, they might not realize it, but part of the reason people are willing to watch cams and, you know, bootleg versions of the show instead of going to Carib is because people say, you know, it's the same, it looked the same and it sound the same, right? And they're right. A lot of times
when it comes to Carib,
it looks the same and it sounds the same. I've had friends over since I've upgraded my system. I've had friends over who, you know, used to say, this is the same, that is the same. You know, when it comes to movies, all this, when they watch movies, all the speakers come out of the speakers that come with the TV and whatever. And they're like, I'd go to Carib, but, you know, it's just for, that's all they offer, surround sound. And I said, all right, I've played, I hated Crank until my auntie bought it on Blu-ray. I saw that movie. There's a world of difference.
Can I tell you, we're planning to get a 40-inch flat screen and a Blu-ray player.
That's great.
So, coming into HD
so
world.
HD audio. You need audio as well.
That's coming later. Right. One at a time.
And I've had people, people's mind about, you know, what it is that you can get when you watch a movie. Because even Matrix, my friend, we watch Matrix because I love the Matrix. And he was saying, all the times he watched it, he didn't know that after all the gunshots, you heard the spin shells hitting the ground. I'm like, people have, people spend time and money hiring sound engineers for all of these movies, for all of these games. And people play them out of shitty tinny speakers that come with whatever it is that shows the video. But when you get proper headphones or speakers, believe me, it makes a word. And video, cannot stress how shitty Carib video is. I mean, 1080p is like light years away from Carib offers. Right?
I've recently been thinking about
driving a Lada and then moving up to like a G1, like a G4. It's like a plane. It's not even cars. You was driving a bicycle and then now you own a jet. That's the difference between
Jesus.
Craziness.
I've been thinking recently about taking my camera into the theater and just taking a picture.
No, remember, I've done it before, you know, just my phone
and make sure that it's a movie that I don't care if they catch me and kick me out, so that I can post it online and be like, like, this is what I watch every week. And I think I would, like, if it weren't for the fact that I was writing for the site and I was writing reviews for movies every week, I think I would only go to the theater, like, maybe twice out of the year.
But the only reason that I was putting up with Caribs nonsense was because of the sites, you know. I could keep abreast with the movies. But shitty audio and shitty videos, one thing. Terrible service, I refuse. I work in the service industry,
and I am
a terrible person, and I offer good service to all the people who come in. So I refuse to sit down and have people treat me like, you know, it's not our fault. Then whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that I come here and see terrible audio and video all the time and put up with your shitty service? The people, what they call the stewardesses that walk through the aisle, that's what the ushers, they're dunces.
Yes, they
all
are.
Hell, right?
Most of them know me by face now, and anytime I walk up to them to make a complaint, they just immediately say, go to the manager. They don't even ask me what the problem is.
What's the qualifications to be an usher? Have feet? I don't understand.
We went to Next Day Air over the weekend, right? It's a shit movie. I didn't even write a review because I spent so much time arguing with people that I didn't actually watch the whole movie properly, right? When the movie began, right, as you were saying, they don't project it on the full screen. They project it on, like, these pseudo-curtains, right? Because the curtain is dark, but you can see that there's a curtain that they're projecting on. And usually what they'll do is they'll project, you know, 3 inches on each side.
Right.
This time they decide to project 10 inches on all one side. Right? So I immediately get up and I go to the usher and I'm like, do you notice that? She's like, go and talk to the manager. Because she know who I am. And she just stopped trying to argue with me. And then I find the manager. It was a white lady, Miss Paisley, which is why I know her name now. Because I asked her this time. Right? And I'm like, I just started to ask calm questions so I could understand what everything is. So when I try to make a proper letter to Palace Amusement, I can name everything properly. Right? So I'm like, why are you projecting on the curtains? She's like, we're not projecting on the curtains. We're projecting on the masking. I'm like, what is the masking? The masking is, you know, you have the screen, right? And not the curtain that I'm talking about. They have these darker, like, as if they've taped a dark tape around the screen. That is called the masking. I'm like, no, that is not what you're projecting on. You're projecting on these curtains. The curtains don't open all the way. She's like, no, the curtains open all the way. Because there is a red curtain, which is over this pseudo-curtain I speak of, which opens all the way. The pseudo-curtain doesn't open all the way. Pseudo-curtain opens like 80%. Right?
No. I'm going to veto this 80% right, bullshit.
60%.
No.
Halfway.
50. Halfway.
Alright, it opens halfway.
Why you build a room with a screen if you can't see the screen? Sorry. Continue.
Right?
I've seen that.
The screen opens however much. It doesn't open all the way. And then they end up projecting on the curtain. And then I'm like, alright, manager, can you come inside with me and look at it and just tell me if I am wrong? Right? You know, you have to be nice to them so they'll actually come.
No, you actually don't have to.
You have to see, you see, I like to hear the bullshit. I mean, when we've gone so far in the bullshit, I like to pick it up and throw it at them and tell them this is bullshit. Right? So we walk into the theater and I'm like, pointing at the curtain. Is that a curtain?
It was funny. There was a point where I don't think anybody really said anything, but he went up to the movie and then he picked up the curtain and he shook it.
Curtain.
He said, this is what it is on.
Well, I was supposed to ask if anyone in the audience actually complained about me doing that.
I think I heard like a chuckle at the time. Like, but there were about 10 people in the movie.
And I have to tell you, we were in a little room, and you know how bad the little room is in comparison to the bigger rooms, right? And after I touched it, she was like, I don't know why we do that, but we do it.
Okay. Thank you. No, I'd like my money back.
And you know, usually me, because I'm with someone else, I decide not to be as much of an asshole to be like, I'm leaving now, you know, kind of stuff. But, you know, it got to the point where she was like, I don't know is the only response she could tell me.
Exactly.
Right?
And then, that is the response I kept getting.
And
oh,
then,
you don't. Thanks.
And then I can promise you, if I dare to say the word re, I don't even finish it with fun yet. I said re, she just said no. you can't have a refund. Because I had the same argument with the Dark Knight story that I told you about.
Right.
I don't think I've ever written about it or spoken about it on a podcast. But when I saw from that Dark Knight screening, I wrote an angry letter. I never mailed it because I felt horrible. And especially because it was at the time when we were doing the show.
Right.
And I was questioning whether I should send the angry letter to Palace of Disney. Right. You know, attempting to sponsor this show that we were doing.
Stop. Now what I want you to do is this. You are going to write another letter. A completely different letter about this next day. Then you are going to say, attached is a copy of a letter that I wrote.
Actually, I don't have it anymore. Send. I don't have it anymore.
Shit, why you don't have it?
I don't remember. Must have lost it in a format. Lost it in a format.
Man!
But I still have my angry there will be blood thing that I posted on my Facebook.
Yeah, but that don't count.
But that was more or less me ranting about bringing out movies when DVDs are out.
That's a concern, but it's not a concern. It's not an immediate concern.
But I have to be honest. As I said, I think if it wasn't for the fact that I was writing reviews for the site every week, I wouldn't even think about going there more than maybe 2 or 3 times a year for like a Dark Knight kind of movie.
I mean, you know I love summer blockbusters.
Like, I think I personally paid for one of their houses the amount of times I go to the movies.
I mean, I've not seen Wolverine. I've not seen Star Trek. There's
Wolverine
movies.
Was crap, though.
Yeah, but I still keep talking about summer blockbusters.
Just like how we went knowing we wanted to watch it.
I mean, I went to see Dragon Ball. I mean, sir.
My question is, why didn't you remember that signed ticket when you went to Dragon Ball?
No, I had it in my wallet and
why would you pay the $600?
Literally, I was going through my wallet and saw the ticket. I'm like, oh, right, I can go watch something.
Yeah, we can have an argument.
I just thought I was going to go and get my movie and come back, be disappointed with the quality and whatever, and come back home. But no, Cap decided to be assholes. But they decided with the wrong person. I need to get a shirt printed up that says fuck Carib. I'm going to go to the front and
I was
say,
about to say, you should actually, no, you should break your rule just once, just to go into Carib with that shirt.
Right. And no, I like pay to go in and just not watch it.
No, go to a bad movie so you can start an argument.
No, I'm going to pay to go in and then just walk from theater to theater. With the fuck Carib shirt. And just wait until they call security to get me. I've seen their security guards. It's not going to happen. He's never going to get me. Until they call like armored, until they call like armored security. And then I'll just calmly walk out and leave the fuck Carib shirt with somebody else. Because there's movies that I've been wanting to see since last year because a lot of the trailers were out a good long time ago. And when I was watching the Watchmen movie the second time and I was having a problem, all I was saying is, if this was the first time I saw the movie, right, what exactly would they have told me? Because I saw the movie already. So it was just like, even when it went out and it came back, I was still in it because I knew what was happening. If this was the first time that I saw the movie, like the second time this happened, I'd have gone out and kicked somebody in the face because this is complete nonsense. And the guy going to look at me and say, it's not their fault. I just can't. I don't understand that mentality at all. And the thing is, a lot of people say, oh, people don't complain and whatever. The problem is that we have a government body that is put in charge of issues like this. Right? We have consumer affairs. No one uses that place. I have a friend that works there. They get about 5 complaints a day. And it's always from the same people, basically, right? And like, they're like, our job is to, take care of these kinds of things. For our ministry, like, we're kind of short-staffed, but we don't do nothing. Not much. So whenever people come in with complaints, they just do it because they have to show that they're doing things. So whoever complains to them, whatever it is, they go and they check it out. Just so that they have something to do. I'm like, why you people do, make it more known? Put out ads and whatever on TV and road. You guys had that shitty hold up your hand to cross the street ad playing everywhere. Why we don't have a consumer affairs ad blasting at every minute, every day? Right? Why is it that, going to allow Jamaican people to feel that, there's really no point in complaining because there's no one to complain to? when there's always somebody to, there's the government. That's what you guys are here for, to protect consumers. Like, yeah, we know, but this is, no, we can't do. But the best thing people can do, I mean, is vote with their dollar. Everybody knows that. Which is, I mean, it's just, I don't even know. Carib is just.
All right, I'm trying to find this post on MovieMax's website. She, over, I think it was last summer, a new theater opened up in Canada that she, the AMC Younger Dunga. And I'm just going to show you some pictures she took of that theater, right? And we can just, I'll post a link in the show notes when I put up the show. So.
Yeah, so when you hear us go, ooh, ah, you can look at the pictures and you can go, ooh, ah, with us.
Like, they have a concession they have underneath, they have restaurants that you can go to in between screenings if you feel like. They have theaters above, like, this is the first floor where you get the tickets. Above, you get, is theaters where you would go to. It looks intense, right? This is a floor just full of quotes that you're walking over as you're going to the theaters. Why can't we have theaters like this in Jamaica?
Because we're a country that has no money.
Since when?
Since ever.
No, people have money.
No, people have money.
Yes.
But people don't run these things.
But, so it's a government run organization?
No. It's
privately
run. Okay, let me say it properly. The people who have the money don't run these type of things. And you know why? Because these type of things don't make money.
No, Carib has made so many horrible decisions. That's why they don't make any money. Think about it. I've seen enough places where they say, you know, what a lot of the theaters have done is lower ticket prices and raise concessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that the money that you lose off.
Can I tell you, concessions at Carib is ridiculous. Yeah. If I buy a water and a candy, like $250 gone immediately.
Like, listen, when I
right,
go to,
but it's already expensive
Carib,
to go
it's
in.
It's $1,000. Well, expensive is a double-edged sword. It's expensive to us because it keeps going up. But let's think about it. $600 divided by 100 is 6 US.
Yes. No, it's
so
about
a little
8
bit
US
more,
dollars.
No, it's more like 7. Right? It's more like 7 US dollars. If you go to a theater in New York City, how much do you think you get paid?
Yeah, but this isn't New York
City. I know
City.
This isn't New York City.
And we're not getting those kinds of
exactly.
theaters.
No, hey, you get some shit theaters.
Listen
in
to
New
me.
York all right. City.
All right. Listen.
That costs the same amount.
Let me be very clear. If Carib offered IMAX, I'd pay whatever the standard
is to
go and watch the movies.
So, Damien, are you in with me? You know, 10 years' time, we're going to build the 10-screen multiplex right opposite Carib.
And call it IB.
And one screen will be IMAX. Just one, so we can show the Dark Knight.
Douglas. People pay for quality. We even in Jamaica, people pay for quality.
You have to be careful about that.
Redbone's still making money.
Careful about that, you know. Redbone's make money from the liquor.
Cuddies.
What does Redbone's make?
Cuddies.
I don't need cuddies to watch the match.
Bloody expensive.
But people keep going. Why?
Because they're idiots.
Yeah,
because they have big TVs.
What the hell are you doing paying
$600
plus GCT for a hamburger?
And tip. Well, tip is factored into the bills.
You remember that woman last year?
Yeah.
My goodness. We went to Cuddies to watch the Chelsea Man U final, right?
Yeah.
And then I decided when the match was over, I was going to sit down and eat some food because I'm hungry. And then I asked for the bill, and I paid, and you can see on the bill, tip is included, right? I had the woman the money, right? And I had her basically exact change, like maybe an extra $50, and I expected $50 change, right? And she was like, what, you're not tipping me?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
She actually said it to me.
Really? I hope that you said to her, the bill has your tip in there.
No, I said, give me my change,
yeah,
no one.
You don't want to argue with people that serve you food. As a general rule.
Well, I would think number one, that I've gotten my food already.
Oh, you got, yeah,
and,
yeah. Then it's fair game
she
after
she
that.
She won't see me again for another year
it's
or
fair game
Champions
after
League
that.
Final, so she might forgive me.
Oh, my.
I can't believe she said that.
Oh, it's Movie Maxi site's coming up now. So these are the pictures she took.
Ooh.
This is a ticket stand. The quotes.
The phone home.
And then that's right in front of it. It says when it's seating. And then you have huge things like that going on, which you actually might look at and take a picture of, like the huge Wally. Like, when I look at pictures like this, I just get sad.
No, you see, the thing is, I understand why things like this do not exist in Jamaica, because we just...
Because, as I said, we're a bootlegging nation, and people don't pay.
Exactly. It's not going to generate the inflow. But, I agree with you. Whether or not, you know, it's up to this, like, sheen.
No,
right?
Outside
you
of that,
need to... You need to make your service
but
the best.
Again, what I'm saying is, Carib's model is flawed, right?
We have your money, you're screwed.
No, we know that. They have five theaters, right? And, I mean, we people know what movies are going to track, even in Jamaica. It's really not that hard. Big movies track, Tyler Perry movies track.
Will Smith
movies track. Those, they know. So... They could have two theaters, right?
Yeah.
And have early screenings. I still don't
Which
understand.
They don't. I don't
why
understand
it is
how
that
we don't have a 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock show.
Right? They could. Well, if they cater to children, children watch movies.
I remember when
said,
I went.
You
to...
know, if we school's out at 2.
I remember
right? if the movie ends at 5, it's still daylight. Parents would allow their children to go watch movies. And
they showed Coraline one weekend on 2 o'clock, which I went to, and it was packed with children.
Because when you said not a lot of children can convince them parents. All right, I'm going to a movie. I'm going to leave school. Wait to go to a movie at 5:30. I won't be home until 9:30. What parent in the right mind goes, you know, it's a weekday, yeah, I think, no, says no,
I mean,
flat out.
I think this podcast has officially become the Carib-hating podcast.
Right? They don't do that. For the quality that, even though you're saying, yeah, it is cheaper relative to the States,
mm-hmm.
if they made the movie tickets cheaper, because a lot of people complain that,
no,
and made concessions higher.
Yeah, actually, I agree
they
with
made
those
their
people
money.
That complain. I don't like the fact that it's $600. Right. I think it's a lot of money. But at the same time, I kind of temper that with the fact that I know that,
right.
you know, prices are higher
but,
elsewhere.
I mean, where they can, because, all right, look at, whenever the National Stadium has, like, champs, boys and girls champs or whatever, right, the price of going is relatively low, which is
how
why
much
the stadium.
Is it?
I think last time was like $700 on the heavy day, Saturday. But like Thursday, Friday is like $200,
$300 for like grandstand.
No, $700 to get grandstand for other people. No, but those are the heavy days. Those are the days that they know a lot of people going to come. That's why they raise the price on Saturdays. But Fridays and Thursdays are like $200, regardless of where you're going, because they need people to come in. And students pack that place. And what they do, they sell you a bottle of water for like $100.
Because you're screwed.
And there's you know, you're going to say, oh, I'm here. I still need something to drink. No point spiting myself. I'm not, you know, buying food. So that's where they make back a lot of that money. So, and Carib can do that. But they refuse to. They don't have early screens. But the service though.
Yeah, it does drive me up a wall most of the time. I try my best not
Someone,
to talk to
like,
anyone.
Exactly. Just
I mean,
talking
the,
to
only, the only person I talk to is the man who I hand the ticket to as I walk in, because he's realized how many times I come there. He's like, hi, how you doing, kind of thing. And then that's it.
Yeah, I think we should move on.
I was about to say, should we even talk about David Mamet, because we've gone for like so long.
Yeah, I think we should talk about it next week, so that, you know, we can devote proper time
probably
to the film
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Give it 2 weeks.
So we can devote a good enough time. Because, yeah, we shouldn't do that. Man's a filmmaker.
Because, yeah, honestly, we haven't
so
watched
thing.
Enough.
Yeah.
All right, I haven't.
Alright, so we'll delay the David Mamet discussion for
a
while.
Time.
You know, maybe another 2 weeks. And
Dave, it's because we hate you.
No, it's because we hate Carib. And there's a lot of hate. It took up a lot of time.
Yeah.
I think we can kind of make this like our end-all Carib rant.
Yeah, I'm not going back, so there's nothing else to rant about.
Alright, yeah. So let's get into the news. This week, Sam Mendes, who we think is rumored, I don't think this is confirmed, to be directing the Preacher film, gave us an update about it, so yeah, I guess he is. That the script is half finished and there's more than enough room for sequels. We've been reading the Preacher comics. We've gone like 5 books in, out of the 9 of the trades.
Five, really? Have
yeah.
That far?
Yep.
Whoa.
What do you guys think of Preacher, and do you think Sam Mendes will do well?
Well, I think,
as a filmmaker, on
I think
that
the Preacher, the comic book is fantastic. There's a reason we've gone five books in and are waiting impatiently for somebody to get us some money.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I ordered the laptop.
Excuses.
No money to comic books for a while.
Yeah, it's not like any of us work and you could say, you know, the books cost X.
It's $10.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, I'm breaking the bank to buy another book.
But, right, okay, so, you know, the book is amazing. It's fantastic. And every time you think to yourself, I'm not sure how they could make this thing go any further, you know,
yeah.
They just do it.
And they find a way to make it more awesome.
Yes, they really do. Can it be translated into a movie? I think probably. I would hope that they did it well, you know. There are a lot of comic books that are translated that don't go over very well. There's like the Punisher series. That, right? They've tried twice. And
Three times?
Yeah,
the first
three.
One? There was one
there
in 89.
Yeah.
there was the
John Travolta. The
John Travolta one. I was thinking of the guy who actually played Punisher. What's his name?
Oh, Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane. And then the recent one, which I just watched a couple weeks ago.
I haven't watched that
back,
one yet. But
that movie
flipping.
Was horrible.
It looked pretty bad.
Let me tell you. Saying it's horrible is kind of harsh. Because you know what you get.
I fell asleep during action scenes.
Right. No, there's something really wrong with this one. I don't remember her name. The director is a lady.
Oh, yes. And she was very upset.
I can't believe that she did that. I mean, I've never seen women direct action.
Yeah.
Not on this, you know. Not this kind of action.
But
it was pretty well done.
Do you remember...
But the story,
building up to the release of this film?
Yeah, it was...
There were a million rumors going around that she was actually taken off a set.
Right. There was a lot of bad press going around. I expected the movie to be garbage, but it was just another crank-esque action movie.
Just to let you know, the director is Lexi Anderson Alexander. Yes,
okay.
I can't read.
Lexi Alexander. Yeah. So the thing about it, like I'm saying, there are there are properties just like The Punisher that just don't do well. Can't do well translated. I think especially The Punisher can. I mean, it's an action movie.
Oh, it's
what
this
the hell?
Movie.
Ghost Rider.
Okay, thank you. You've brought in another one. Ghost Rider. That was just
actually
horrendous.
I read about three issues that
oh, and
was
good?
It was
Whoa.
Really good.
Nick Cage. What the hell did you do?
No, but it wasn't
his
fault.
It's the writers. It's the problem.
Right, yeah,
the writers
yeah.
and the director's fault. Because... Those CG work
was pretty good.
2 seconds long.
But everything surrounding that nonsense.
And just to let people know, just like the spirit.
Oh yeah, the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay,
I watched the spirit.
I saw the spirit today. That's really
you just saw it today?
I was putting off this movie.
I watched it maybe 2 weeks ago.
I was putting off this movie. I'm like, Frank Miller doesn't have a clue what he's doing. And this movie's going to be bad. This movie, good lord, what are you doing?
You know what?
See he was clearly like, I know how to do Sin City. I must do that with the spirit.
That is the word.
Like,
no,
he failed at every point. He failed trying to. If
he got the Sin City look down, it would have been bad, but not as bad. But he wasn't even close.
Actually, you want to know what I think about the spirit? At least for the first hour, it's bad enough that all you can do is laugh. And then I can promise you, 10 years later from now, people will look back on this movie the same way we look back on bad 80s films.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
No, just they'll watch it just to laugh throughout the film.
It, like, it was so, you know, aggressively bad. At all, I mean, what I found, like, truly, truly amazing was that the voice that the spirit used to narrate wasn't the voice he used to talk. I mean, this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
You know what I think was one of my favorite laugh moments?
I mean, Eva Mendes naked couldn't. It wasn't even close. It was just terrible.
It was Eva Mendes. Yeah. Like, there was this one scene where she was talking to like this broker or something, and she sat on a photocopier, and she was like perfect ass, and then she pressed photocopy while sitting on the photocopier, and then stared at the photocopy of her ass, and then he found the photocopy and searched around town, showing people that ass, saying, "Have you seen this ass?"
Like the goons.
Looking for her.
Like the goons. Like what? Because they had the goons, I'm like, oh, they, you know, maybe they look, they're taking it, you know, they're trying to be funny with this one. Maybe they're not going to play it straight to the comic. Maybe they're, you know, going to inject a lot of humor into the movie and, like, have the goons be a running joke. And so people realize that this won't be, you know, a kind of serious. But no, they were just goofy, and then other parts of the movie, like the commissioner was trying to be like straight. He was like all gritty. I'm like, you're headed for a cliff, and don't jump up. Like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, none of this movie makes sense. A movie. Boy, Frank Miller, no.
But you know what? Thinking about Frank Miller's Christ. History with Hollywood, I think he did this on purpose, so no one will ever ask him to do anything again.
if that is the logic,
because you know about his story with RoboCop.
Yeah,
right?
RoboCop too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Shit! This movie.
Which is why Robert Rodriguez had to try so hard to get Sin City from him to do it.
Anyway, like I was saying.
Sorry.
Yeah, we were talking about
right? Which actually is a good thing, because then you realize how bad comic book movies can be. Right?
The first Hulk. You idiot! Stupid conyo.
Right. So yeah, it can be horrible, horrendous, bad, indifferent. Conyo. Right? And most of them are. Only the few elite comic books become this good movie. Like Spider-Man 1 and 2, decent movies. You know, Iron Man, proper movie.
Incredible Hulk
was awesome. Okay. You know, Batman and the Dark Knight, great.
We were actually just watching the Dark Knight.
Sin City was fantastic. Even though it shared very many aspects with the spirit, there was just something about they got right.
Except you know? One is so far from good.
Yeah.
There's like a black hole between
them. It's funny
them.
Though. No, seriously though. And to go on a little bit of a tangent again. Seriously, it's funny. The acting in Sin City, most of it. I mean, a few people were fantastic. Like, yeah. I actually think somebody who I would never have said this for, Brittany Murphy, I thought was spectacular in that movie. But most of the other people, Mickey Rourke again was fantastic as well. But most of the other people were almost, you know, the same quality of acting as the spirit.
They hammed it up a lot.
Yeah, they hammed it up a lot. The visuals were similar, right? The way that things were cut, similar. The way that, you know, they had them trail off on every last word in the sentence, extremely similar. But there was just something that Sin City got right that
direction.
The spirit did not.
I can tell you exactly what happened. This is the average day on set for Sin City. Frank Miller comes on set, he's all happy, he's like, yup, we're going to make a movie. Robert Rodriguez walks in 15 minutes after, and he's like, alright, Clive, I want you to do that. And then Frank Miller walks up to Robert Rodriguez and says, but shouldn't we do that? And then Robert Rodriguez smacks him across the face.
Shut up!
He's sitting in his corner.
Go write a book or something.
However, here's the thing, right? I can tell you from first-hand knowledge, Sin City the movie is page for page the book, right? So Frank Miller as a director, I think, was plausible before the spirit. Like, I could imagine it, especially seeing Sin City come to life on screen. So when I heard Frank Miller directing the spirit, I was like, okay. When I saw the trailer and it looked exactly like Sin City, I felt a little cheated.
Right.
Like, Frank Miller realized he spent 3 months on set with Robert Rodriguez. He saw what a camera can do. He saw Robert Rodriguez push it into his MacBook Pro and make everything black and white. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can do that with a camera. I don't know how to film things normally, but I can do that. You know, so he went to the spirit and did that. And especially when I found out it was a comic book he hadn't written.
Yeah.
I haven't read The Spirit.
Will Eisner. Right? Actually, I've
Will
seen...
Eisner is one of those people in comic book world who are revered. I mean, they actually have a Will Eisner Award every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was just like I was giving Frank Miller the opportunity to
fucking
to surprise
you. You're giving it the benefit of the doubt,
you know? And then,
yes.
And then as things went on during production, I heard everyone went to Comic-Con and I saw the leaked footage, which I told you guys about, which I showed you.
I actually watched it before you showed
it. Okay.
You showed,
I didn't
you,
show you.
Right.
Because
no,
when I wanted to show you, it actually got kicked off the internet
right.
And I couldn't
and
find it.
And I decided,
it.
No, I don't want to see it.
And it was the fight scene at the beginning.
Yeah,
between Sam
inside
Jackson,
the water.
Inside
yeah.
the mud. And it went up to the toilet joke, which is
yeah.
just...
And you actually saw Eva Mendes' part, too.
It was ridiculous, right? And that's when I knew this movie would be bad.
Right.
And then I watched the movie. And then we can just copy and paste what I said earlier right here.
You know, Sam Jackson needs to stop acting.
Okay, so to sum up what my very disjointed thought was going to be, right? It is that
we hope it's on
we
one end.
Hope
it's
this
on
thing,
the good end.
Yeah, it's on the good end. And the fact that a director of the caliber of Sam Mendes, you know, the guy behind 6 Feet Under, the guy behind not 6 Feet Under.
No,
sorry.
No.
He,
no.
The writers of his movie did that. Sorry, the guy behind American Beauty. And I associate American Beauty with 6 Feet Under. Sorry.
You think? You're thinking the, Alan Ball.
Right? I know. Anyway, so he's behind American Beauty, you know, and Revolutionary Road. And so he's just done so well with what he has done.
You know he can write.
Guess what? You don't know. You don't know what somebody can do until they try and succeed or they try and fail. So you know what? Let's give him a Frank Miller here. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
We know
hope.
We know they can write. We know that. Because both the movies, American Beauty and Revolutionary Road, were well written. The Preacher is a comic.
It's written already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all they have to do is pick certain things that they need to take out of the... Because there's a lot of things that work in the comic, but that's because it's a comic.
Exactly.
You can't spend the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's the same argument between television series and movies. You
right.
have 13 episodes or 2 hours.
Right. So... It can be made into a movie if they focus on and like they said they're saying that there's going to be sequels, which is good because in the first one they can establish, you know, who the preacher character is and whatever. You can spend time, give us enough action to make it pass as an action movie. Don't do what International did. Just give you an action scene and pretend that you're an action movie.
The International. It was rubbish.
No, it's
Andrew,
architecture porn. I love that movie because of the shots.
Architecture porn?
It is all the... think about all the places that they went to. Those are phenomenal buildings.
No, but listen,
outside of the
honestly,
movie, wasn't that good?
Honestly, I thought about it, right?
It's
and
a beautiful
right after
beautiful
I came out of the
watch.
Movie right after I came out of the movie, I said to myself, well, it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but I kept thinking about it, and you know what, every second of that movie I was thinking to myself, when is this thing going to finish? So I had to actually go back and reconsider and then realize that I felt awful the whole way through the movie because the movie was a load of crap. And the movie was awful. It was horrendous. None of this architecture bullshit. It was awful.
I enjoy architecture. A lot of the buildings that they go to they're...
Right.
Beautiful.
I'm trying to move on because we've been going on one item for like at least 15
True.
Minutes.
Okay, by the way, this is the same item. So let's not even look at it. We're going to say Sin City 2 looks like it's moving forward. Robert Rodriguez had very nice, very happy, very hopeful things to say about it. So... Fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything crossed. Let's move on to the next.
Ditto.
Right. Cross my toes.
I can.
Right. Robert De Niro and Edward Norton are teaming up together again.
Fight
for...
Club 2.
they were not
Fight
Club.
I know, but I want Fight Club 2. No,
this
die.
Is
the
score
Fight
part
Club.
2. Which I just
know.
Found out that a lot of people online don't like the score. I thought that was a really cool movie. I mean, it's not a good movie. It's not like... Oh, this is one to go down in the books.
Actually,
I can watch that movie 5 nights a week. No, 7 nights a week.
Actually,
I can watch it all
the
time.
Your thoughts about the score is the same thoughts I have about the about Heist, which we leave alone for David Mamet discussion.
Okay.
When we get to that.
Okay.
Right? But this movie they're coming to this movie they're coming together for is called Stone. And it's apparently a psychological drama starring De Niro as a correctional officer who is seduced by the wife of Norton's character, a convicted arsonist. Right?
Is it going to be more Painted Veil or America History X?
I imagine Painted Veil.
No, I don't want it.
I can never watch American History X again.
Love that movie.
It was good. Yeah. This is
good news. I mean, there's no...
There's really two top class actors involved. But, you see, you have to be careful.
Whoops.
Because, yes, whoops. Uh-huh. You have to be careful because, you know, two top class actors have been involved. One being Robert De Niro, the other being Al Pacino.
Again.
Various movies.
You said top class. That's very wrong.
There was
a top class actor. Yeah, but by the time that movie came around, there was only one.
I mean, look at what he went from in Heat, which was absolutely amazing, to that crap.
We all fall off eventually.
But, however, I have to say this. The actors involved don't make the movie. It helps me. Right. I want to watch this movie. But at the same time, they could drop out at any time. And the movie could be crap anyway.
Yeah, but for right now, the information we have.
What do you guys feel?
I feel I'm glad to see that they're working together. this is good news. Unless I hear that like Brent Ratner is coming on to direct, or you know, both of them drop out. At that point, you know, feelings change. But for right now, this works fine.
Yep.
Oh, just to let you know, reading further into the story, which I didn't see, John Curran, who directed The Painted Veil, is apparently attached to direct this movie.
Oh, sorry. Painted Veil.
What?
The guy that did Painted Veil.
The guy that did Painted Veil is attached to direct this movie, and the script is written
by
the guy
who did
Painted
Veil. Not a good movie?
No, I like Painted Veil.
But you know, it's just because you mentioned it.
Painted Veil is lighter. It's not. There's no grit. There's not a lot of grit in Painted Veil. As opposed to American History X, which is all good.
Yeah, that is true.
Which was rough.
Rough.
Can I tell you, when he was talking to the principal of the school in jail after the bathroom scene?
Okay. You know what other movie I like that is kind of along the same lines of American History X? Steven Dwarf, he did Felon last year with Val Kilmer.
I didn't watch that one.
That movie's awesome.
I watched a trailer for that just the other day.
I mean, I think I saw the trailer and kind of wasn't impressed. But then I remember that he was in the first Blade.
Oh, I know what it was.
I'm like,
I had my
all right, let me. Val Kilmer, he was in.
You see, the thing about Val Kilmer is he will be fantastic
one day, and then horrendous the next. So I'm like, all right, these two guys, they're about this. You know, when they do good work, they do good work. When it's off, it's really off. So I'm like, all right, let me start watching this. And like within 10 minutes, you knew that this movie is going to be one of the better ones.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good. You guys should watch it. Right. It's not as rough as American History. So you'll get through this one.
I won't want to kill myself like Requiem.
I don't know, you guys are weird. Can I kill this
week? Anyways, there's also another story out this week about Call of Duty movie in the works.
Finally!
Right?
But another war movie?
Right, but here's the thing, right? I mean, we've already seen that before. We've already gone on about how video game films never work. However, this is a video game which was inspired by movies like Saving Private Ryan. So we're talking about a movie based on a video game, imitating games, imitating art, imitating life.
It's perfect.
Right, and I mean, this is one of franchises which I love. I love Call of Duty. I love everyone.
No, not everyone. 3 and bigger than 1. No.
Actually, I haven't played
4. Good. God, that game is awesome.
I actually didn't play 3 because that one didn't come out for PC at the time.
It's a video game version of crack.
Right, but so
they should have just said they're making a war movie, honestly.
Because there is nothing really different from
Call of Duty. Unless Spike Lee is doing it, in which case, never mind.
He'll replace all the white characters with a black character and have chocolate giants.
You
to
do
play
not
with.
Taste like a chocolate.
Wait, have you seen that new documentary that he's putting out about Kobe? about a day in the life
trailer.
Of Kobe.
I saw the trailer.
Like,
why is
has
Kobe
he fallen
Bryant
off?
That important?
No, he's really good.
isn't he doing the Michael Jordan documentary?
Yeah, I mean,
to do. He's a really good basketball player. That's why I need to watch him for 20
look
hours.
Look how many friggin' documentaries they put out about shit that people don't need to see.
And look how many times I tell you that it's not necessary.
Yeah, not necessary for you. But you're not the target audience.
Clearly.
Shut up. And let the people who want to see it see it.
Do you want to see this
Kobe film? Of course. I love sports documentaries. As long as it's not about fucking Ali again. Tired of this shit. Although, was it Rumble
in the Jungle?
Rumble in the Jungle, right? About the music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I saw the trailer. I'm like, Jesus, they're making another Ali. What the fuck is wrong with you? And then like half of it, I'm like, thank you.
Actually, what you're thinking of is Soul Power.
Right, Soul Power. Right.
Oh,
I think that's
okay.
It's about the musical event
right.
that was supposed
that was
to happen during the
Rumble in
the
jungle. Right. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, another Ali documentary. I don't believe this.
One
shit.
Week after another
exactly.
Ali documentary trailer.
I don't believe this shit.
Right, now another news story that came out this week. Is
he's retiring. Yay!
No, he's
shit.
Not. Samuel Jackson will be going on till he's 95 years old. He's about to do a film about pirates. Right? It's about, I think, the recent pirate stories.
Yes, they deserve to die.
And
I
hope
they
burn in
hell.
As long as him said that to anyone, this movie will be a good one. Damien, seal of approval.
Right. So, apparently he's going to star as a pirate negotiator. Andrew, I can't pronounce his
negotiator?
Last name. Yes.
Wait, hasn't he done this movie before? With Kevin Spacey?
Listen to me. He does nothing new. He'll be the angry black character in every single movie. And he'll shout for no reason.
And he says this character is a negotiator between pirates and the owners of vessels hijacked off the coast of Africa.
Too soon.
Is it
you know, are you crazy? What are you no, this is never too soon.
Right. So
that,
we should have
mentality.
A Steve Irwin film.
No,
then.
Seriously, that mentality I don't understand.
The too soon mentality?
Yeah, because it only applies to certain forms of media. Right? If
comedy.
When, no, if after the World Trade Centers, if someone put it on a shirt, the plane flying into the building, no one would have gone, that's too soon.
Actually,
yes,
actually,
they
did. Yes,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, but no one's going to put up picky fence. They're like, oh, we need to shut down this shirt company for printing shirts.
No, that's not what they do. What they do is when that person wears that shirt,
yeah, they get
and they walk through an airport or they walk through wherever, a security guard stops them and says, get the fuck out of my building.
No, I mean, alright, let me tell you people something that I've learned over the years that people need to understand. Offense cannot be created. It is impossible. You can only take offense. If you choose not to be offended, guess what? You're not offended.
However, we're talking about main population where people
yes.
get offended at everything.
Yes, but that doesn't make it right. Andrew, think about it. We live in Jamaica where everybody tell everybody about their mother. And there's people that take it really harshly. Right? And decide to fight people. But most people...
You and Michelle have been joking for 3 years
right.
to buy me the pyramid shirt.
Right?
Exactly. The pyramid slavery
right.
shirt.
Yeah,
and you,
slave to get shit done.
And the only reason you guys really haven't bought it for me is because you know what it'll really do. Right?
It'll be funny. That's what it really do.
Right? It'll be funny if
no,
I wear it here.
No,
with
we
you
keep
and Michelle
forgetting.
Staring. Right?
No, we keep... The reason I haven't bought anything from T-shirt hell, honestly, is because I've been budgeting money to the other things. But the second I get some of this nonsense out of the way, believe me, they'll have a new favorite customer.
T-shirt
look,
hell is a fun site.
They have one that says, Rotting Hell, B. Arthur. Like, 2 days after she died.
No.
I was so... you see, that is... I mean, Andrew... Clearly, it is not a nice thing to say.
No, it is.
No, duh. Right? But I am not. I don't see it as offensive because I understand what they're trying to. I know it's a joke. Clearly, it is. I'm sure none of them don't know B. Arthur. I'm sure that.
No, in Jamaica, yeah.
No, anywhere. The guys that run this, the company.
No, as in are
associated.
Not associated, sorry. Right. Are like actually have met.
Friends.
Exactly. Hello, Mrs. Arthur.
Hi, Mrs.
How are you exactly. doing? Nobody knows.
Right, none of them at the site don't know that.
But you see, here's my problem. My problem isn't that I take offense to it. My problem is that I realize that other people take
right.
offense. And, and it's a measure of offense that the shirt will give.
But they like, take offense.
Maybe rotting B. Arthur, I think, isn't as bad as, say, the slavery shirt.
Right. No,
right?
But and the thing is, Andrew, you wearing the shirt, to me, doesn't offend me, right? Because I don't see it as a... Even if you mean it, I just think of it as a joke.
Yes.
Like the people who have, what they call that flag that they have in the South, the one with all the stars and shit.
The Confederate.
Right, every time I see that shit, I laugh. Yeah. Right, there's a guy staying at the hotel now who is in the army that below the American flag has sewn on that flag and wears the banda. And every time I see him, I burst into laughter.
Question, is he serious or joking?
I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter. I don't take offense to that.
Yeah, also the thing about the flag is it's a little bit odd. It has been given the stigma of racism and things. But it's really the flag of the South. So it doesn't have to mean that. It's like the swastika.
Right.
The swastika,
yeah.
Everybody assumes is Hitler, but Hitler took it from somewhere else. That's not what the
original
was.
However, the difference for the swastika is you can tell the difference because Hitler actually flipped the Indian symbol.
Yeah.
So you can tell whether they're talking Hitler or India.
Yeah.
But again, the offense cannot be created. You cannot force somebody to be... If you are trying to offend me and I don't take offense...
then I feel sad and
then
I
fail miserably. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to wear this to offend people and everyone else just walks past. You feel like an ass. Right? You can't create it. It has to be taken. So I don't see why people take offense to a lot of things. There's nothing you can do about that. Why am I supposed to live my life? If I'm not physically hurting anybody... I really don't see what the problem is.
So you don't believe? Don't believe
no,
or yes
no,
you do
yes,
believe?
Yes, I do believe, but we don't need those people.
That's not nice.
And offense. You see, if you had
those times taken.
Exactly. If you just got, you know, you're an idiot. No one would have cared.
Hey, can I ask you, have you seen the Scrubs season finale? The Scrubs
of course.
Finale?
Oh, Jesus. Like, I want more Scrubs, but no, it's done.
No, wait,
I'm not going to spoil it. It's awesome.
First of all, I don't care about spoiling it because I know Douglas is never going to get around to watching it.
I've watched probably, and also,
first of all, they haven't claimed that it's a serious finale. Mm-hmm. They're still leaving it open to the fact that they can bring it back. ABC can bring it back.
Okay.
Right? However, I don't think they'll bring back JD if they do.
Right.
You bastard! You whore!
He was shot, what is...
Right? But that last moment with Dr. Cox,
yeah.
After it finished, I rewound to watch it again.
Awesome! Like, you realize you're still here. I just think about that. You didn't, did you?
Oh, yes!
Oh,
yeah.
It's so good.
So, back to taking offense, I am JD.
I take offense to everything.
Anyway, we were talking about something. Oh, Sam Jackson. He's in a pirate movie.
Apparently.
Don't watch it. Next next item.
Seriously.
This is like horrible. Anyways, let's get to trailers this week.
Christian Bale and Meryl Streep join, maybe. And
so
but then
the first
Sam Jackson
trailer,
still be.
Gerard Butler and Michael C. Hall.
I just threw up.
Cable? It's me. It's Simon. I'm playing you.
Turn me around.
Going live in 3, 2, 1.
They call it a game.
Slayer, the gamer, full control of a human being in full-scale combat.
But the players are real.
Every one of our Slayers is a death row inmate. Stay alive for 30 sessions, you get set free. That's not a bad deal.
Some try to beat the system.
Get me out of here!
But
no one has ever survived.
Cable's a perfect soldier. He is what they want.
27 battles. There was ever done. That man was ever come that close.
It ain't just a game. We're all slaves.
My husband, he's due to be released soon.
Your wife and your daughter need you. It's the only thing that keeps you alive.
We know where she is.
So I can beat them, not with you controlling me. You want to win? Turn me loose.
You're pulling all the strings around here.
I think if you do it, you're mine, boy.
Something you can control.
No. So that was a trailer for Gamer, right? Starring Gerard Butler and Michael C. Hall. I'll let Damien start.
Gerard Butler is in another movie coming out this summer. With some
Ugly chick. Truth.
Yeah, the Ugly Truth. I'm more interested in that. This movie. This movie
that's Katherine Heigl, eh?
Yeah.
This movie is Death Race 2.
Yeah.
And Death Race was not fun. You watch it once and go, this was a waste of my time, man. This is not happening again. Ludacris is in it. I think Will.i.am is in it. That's all.
I don't know about Will.i.am.
I think
Terry Crews is in it, I think.
Is that a good thing, Andrew?
No.
No, I don't think so.
So, they're pinning Gerard Butler and
Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall. I hear that Michael C. Hall is not in this movie a lot.
I hear that he has
about
probably the rich guy. 5 minutes
airtime. No, he's the owner of the business.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
I'm sure he has like maybe at most 10 minutes.
Right. I have to say though, the piece that he did in his trailer sounds awesome.
Yeah. It sounds awesome, little accent. Let's not use the word awesome. It sounds fun. It sounds like something I'd laugh at.
I'll use the word awesome.
I'll use the word awesome. Thank you very much. It sounded awesome.
I'll watch this movie. Hopefully, it's better than Death Race.
Yeah.
But it feels a lot like
this movie looks horrendous. I mean, what the hell? Oh, look, I'm going to play a video game with real people. Yeah. And if I am good enough, then they will go free. That makes no sense to me.
Horrible sci-fi in action movies.
And clearly, in the trailer, you see he's trying to escape because he's like, the only way I can do this is if I do it by myself.
And he's going to find the most obvious way out, like shoot through the door.
Exactly.
I can just go to the end and walk out.
Yeah, what was it? One thing that I found really hilarious about this traction control him. No, not even that one is enough, right? But there's actually one where you have like a room with four people and they're doing like a choreographed dancing and it looks like they're doing like the 80s dance move, the clock tower kind of dance that you'd see on Fresh Prince. My goodness. This movie is going to be bad.
Where's 300 part 2? We need to put Gerard Butler.
Frank Miller is writing it, apparently.
In his rightful place.
Anyways, like, down to it. Do you think this movie is going to be good at all?
No.
So 3 for 3, don't go to this piece of shit.
No, I won't tell anybody not to.
Yeah, that's not maybe it might be like a fun movie to watch.
Maybe it'll be like Crank.
Exactly. You never know.
Beautiful in its shittiness.
Can I tell you, Crank is on my short list for buying purchasage.
Anyways, moving on to the second trailer of the night. Here's Land of the Lost.
Ah, shit.
Suck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the Tachyon Amplifier. An invention so groundbreaking, there's no telling what we may discover with it. A distant past, a far future, an entirely new dimension. All right, so... any questions? Oh, great.
Is it true if you cough and sneeze and burp all at the same time while holding your eyes open, you'll explode?
Why are your legs so skinny?
My dad's car costs more than your whole life.
Do you even own a home?
How come you were crying in the bathroom before this presentation?
Get out. Everybody out. Go play in the parking lot.
Al Gore says this theory of yours, time warps, it's nonsense.
Al Gore is just a glory hound running his mouth.
He won
the Nobel Prize.
You finished the time machine.
All right, Holly.
We'll start with taking some seismic readings inside the mouth of the cave.
Something's happening. It's beautiful! Ah!
Yes! Matt Lauer can suck it!
Did we go back in time
and space?
It's like a cosmic lost and found.
A virtual land of the lost.
Holly. Chaka.
Chaka? No. Holly. Chaka.
Will.
What the hell?
No immediate danger. I repeat, no immediate danger.
Will you stop that, please? Are freaking me out.
Create some momentum. Let's swing over to that tree. T-Rex, definitely in predator mode.
Why are you wearing high heels?
They're not high heels. They're my Florsheim zipper boots.
If we happen to be left out of the night,
we die out here.
It's okay. You can't cross.
Not what you'd call an athlete.
The fumbling idiot of the dinosaur world.
I wanted to do that since I first met you.
You mean we could have been doing this the whole time?
I've been weak.
Really bushwhacked.
I got this. Leave me.
I'm so tired.
He's incapable of rapid course correction. Try running a serpentine pattern.
Serpentine! No! Serpentine!
And that was definitely 100% of the Land of the Lost trailer. There was none cut. We just like, they made it that way.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to start. You're going to start, Damien. Again. I know. What
trailer,
do you like?
This trailer was amazing.
Yeah, I like this trailer. And I'm pretty tired of seeing that dude in movies.
Which dude?
Which one?
Guess which one.
Will or
yes, Will
okay, Ferrell,
dog.
Or Danny? I don't know because I know
Danny,
you don't
Danny.
Like Danny McBride either.
No, I was in Tropic Thunder. So 2020 are bad because Fitful Sway bad.
Fitful Sway, that
whatever.
Was horrible.
And the movie that he has, the series he has on HBO.
Leave that alone.
No,
I like that series.
I have to say, Andrew.
Very sorry.
No. Andrew,
no.
That show is fair to average.
I've laughed harder watching CBS.
You know, there was there was only one scene where I didn't laugh, I chuckled. You know what that scene was?
He has his pants.
That's the only time he was like, oh, and then he came in his pants, and I was like, that's kind of, you know,
yeah.
Anyway,
I'm a bit fatigued with Will Ferrell. He plays Will Ferrell in every movie.
Yeah, that is kind of true.
Yeah, he does.
He's Michael Cera. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But this looks funny.
It does.
And the difference between him and Michael Cera is that whenever he's really funny, the movies tend to be really, really good. So this looks really funny.
Yeah.
I think I want to see this. I definitely want to see this one.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the trailer.
Funnily enough, I thought this movie was going to be awful.
Yeah.
Before I watched the first trailer. When I heard the news about it, The Land of the Lost, Meryl. I was like, what the hell? This is crap.
What was Brendan Fraser's one last
week? Oh, Inkar.
No, Inkar was bad. There was another one with some dinosaur.
By the
Journey
way,
to the Center.
Oh, hang on. By the way, just to let everybody out there, all 50 of you that may or may not download this podcast, Inkar, which came out, what? Is it five months ago now?
Yeah.
Has not come out here yet. Just to let you
know.
And they're showing trailers, so they are definitely bringing it out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They actually had a pre-release this weekend.
Oh, okay, so it's coming out.
Get ready for it.
Yes. So yes, like I was saying, I thought this movie was going to be awful, and then I saw the first trailer, and it just, not that it was any great shakes, but it blew me away in the sense that It was
based
good.
On your expectations.
Yeah, based on my expectations, I thought it was gonna be crap, but then the thing looked okay. And then now this second trailer comes out, and it's a little bit better. It's like, whoa, look at that! You know, Matt Lauer can suck it. Seriously, wow.
Do you know what this means?
Matt Lauer can suck it. So I am now hooked. I've always been a, not always, but since recently, I've been a Will Ferrell fan. I know that he is more of a. Get it right. He's more of a when I get it right, I get it right guy. And when I get it wrong, boy,
oh
do
Lord.
I get it wrong. But when he gets it right, like
yeah.
you said, it's fantastic. Ricky Bobby, amazing.
Step
Brothers was really funny. So, I have to say, you know, I want to watch this movie because
old
I
school.
Think he got it right this time.
I love when he's mocking the dinosaur.
It's like, them
small birds.
I mean, you know what? I even said this to Andrew. You know what I thought when I saw that? Have you ever seen the original In-Laws? Not the one. There's a new one with Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas.
Right. I think I've seen that
but
one.
But there's an older version with Columbo. And,
no, I haven't seen that
oh
one.
Man, it's hilarious. You need to watch it, right? But there's this point where they both exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this point where they both have to either run either from or to a plane, and people are shooting at them. Yeah. And so Alan Arkin, who is the dentist character, runs toward the plane in a straight line, and Columbo is, you know, Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
He's the spy guy. He's
right.
like, no, you can't do that. He always has this raspy
right.
voice. And he's like, you can't do that. You must serpentine. And so he runs back, and then runs to serpentine.
Just as Damien said, some like it hot.
Some like it
hot. So yes, fantastic movie, I think. Let's watch it. What do
no,
you think?
Unless it turns out to be Journey to the Center of the Earth, in
Ooh.
Which case...
No. See, Journey to the Center of the Earth is the mummy with going into...
No, it is not the mummy.
No.
Because the mummy is good.
No, I mean, the mummy kind of exploration factor going into the past. While this film is exploration in the past, while at the same time having Will Ferrell joking all the while. Which is what I want.
Hopefully
and
it's
on
good.
Top of which you can see they're not taking it seriously at all.
I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping.
To me, nothing beats the opening scene in that trailer with him explaining
to the kids.
The children. And then the children ask him why he was crying in the bathroom before.
Get out.
I have to see this movie. Unfortunately, Douglas and Damien said everything I want to, so just copy and paste what they said.
Do you know what this means?
Suck it.
Right, so here's a trailer for Woody Allen's Whatever Works.
Wow.
Let me tell you right off, okay? I'm not a likable guy. Checkmate, you little putzer.
Hey!
I was considered for a Nobel Prize in Physics. I didn't get it.
Mom, that man's talking to himself.
Come on, Destin.
This is not the feel-good movie of the year. So if you're one of those idiots who needs to feel good, go get yourself a foot massage.
What's the matter, Boris?
I'm dying.
Should I call an ambulance?
No, not now. I mean, eventually. I'm a man with a huge worldview. I'm surrounded by microbes.
Sir?
Hey, what? My God, you scared me.
Can you help me get something to eat?
God, stop that. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, you're 21 like I played for the Yankees.
You're a professional athlete with that limb?
Oh, Christ.
Boris!
Our marriage hasn't been a garden of roses. Botanically speaking, you're more of a Venus flytrap.
Mother?
Melody, St. Anne, you're living like a sharecropper. I said, Lord, just say something. Break your silence. I can't take any more misery.
Nothing, right? And all that money you put in the tin box every Sunday. People make life so much worse than it has to be. But on the whole, we're a failed species.
Forrest, do you want to be buried or cremated?
All right, I really don't want to talk about that, okay?
I think I want to be cremated.
All right, we could just shut up,
There's no worms. Daddy?
I've come to beg your mother's forgiveness.
You cheated on her and then dumped her from her best friend.
Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me.
Why do all the religious psychotics wind up praying at my doorstep?
She left me.
That happens with you heteros.
That would make you... That's a sin against God's law. He made the whole universe perfect. The oceans, the skies, the beautiful flowers.
That's right. He's a decorator.
Unbelievable. Whatever love you can get and give, whatever happiness you can provide, every temporary measure of grace, whatever works.
When you see kids tossing a ball, does it ever make you miss spring training?
All right. I have never played for the Yankees.
Okay, so that was Woody Allen's trailer, Whatever Works. Guess what? It wasn't that good. Ha ha! You can't cut that one out now, can you?
You teach children, right?
It's because I am a child.
Ah. And you know what's the funniest part? Every year at UE, when someone comes up to me and they're like, you know what, your brother taught me. You know, first year, it's coming to me.
How are you here?
I don't understand.
Because I asked them if they're doing math, because that's what Douglas teaches. They're like, yeah, I'm doing math. I'm like, why?
No, what you should, how are you here? Does he steal the paper? That's what he does. I knew it's a bastard.
Anyways,
let's just say that right? Those Trinidad guys, they don't know what they're doing. They got it from the wrong source. It wasn't from me.
Anyways, there's this trailer we wanted to talk about called Whatever Works, right? I have to say I kind of like this trailer. I mean, it invoked a lot of Larry David Show, Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of comedy mixed in with craziness that Woody Allen would write.
But that's the thing though, Andrew. The thing about this trailer that I didn't like was that it didn't... First of all, I've seen this online. It didn't play up the fact that Woody Allen had anything to do with the movie. It was like, yeah, this is a Woody Allen movie. That's it. Done.
No.
Second of all, it didn't show you anything that was distinctly Woody Allen. All that trailer was Larry David talking, walking, and acting exactly like Larry David. And that's fine for his show because he's a funny guy. Let's just, you know, put it out there. And it's his show. You know, it's called... The Larry David Show. No, actually, it's called
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
But it really should be called The Larry David Show.
Everyone who watches it knows it's
exactly. But so, yeah, I'm still interested because this is Larry David working alongside
Woody Allen.
Both, I don't want to say geniuses,
but they're good at what
they're good at what they do. And they are clearly doing what they do in this movie.
However,
right? So I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to try and keep informed about the movie. And I will actually recommend it to all of you guys out there listening to this. Maybe not so much based on the trailer, but based on the fact that it is Woody Allen and Larry David. And hopefully they mesh well.
However, the thing is that I feel they are going to mesh well. Because based on what we know from Woody Allen's filmography, as well as Curb Your Enthusiasm and most Larry David shows like Seinfeld, they technically have the same kind of comedy. You know, it's a lot of the dialogue comedy in which all it is an asshole talking about whatever random topic that ends up in conversation.
But
right?
Andrew, is all of what you just put forward to me, which I agree with you completely, is that put forward in the trailer?
Sort of, but they don't give you enough, right? They give you the setup for the conversations a lot of the time, but they don't give you what we really like in Larry David's comedy in the actual full conversation, which they can't do because they do a lot of things. Like, for example, they have the moment where he talks about how he used to be in the Yankees, and I can imagine how many times that might come up in the movie and
say that one more time. What did he say?
He said that he played for the Yankees.
He didn't say that. You know what he said?
No, yes.
He said, so she said something like, I'm 21. I'm a smart person.
Right.
Okay, I'm 21. And then he said, you're 21, like I played in the Yankees.
No, but...
It's an insult to her intelligence, Andrew.
No,
He did not play for the Yankees. He's saying that if she is 21, then he played for the Yankees because she is not 21.
You see,
and then later on in the trailer, they're bringing the joke to culmination or fulmination or whatever the hell that word is, where she says, you know, it must really irk you when you see these guys on the field when you know you used to play for the Yankees, which
you must
clearly
be like
shows
spring
that
training,
yeah, you know.
I didn't play for the Yankees. You see, here's the thing.
Did you really think that he played for the Yankees?
No, I didn't. I got that right. The thing is that I can imagine, based on what just happened at that point where he made that joke and she believed him, throughout the movie it's going to come up, and he's going to end up everyone maybe at least once in the film going on a tangential conversation where he pretends he played for the Yankees and he jokes about it for 2 to 3 minutes, and yeah, that's Curb Your Enthusiasm right there.
Yeah, but the trailer was piss poor.
Woody Allen trailers, I can't recall one.
Well, there was Vicky Cristina Barcelona that kind of was like a generic trailer, you know, which was...
No, but the only thing about that trailer which made everyone want to see it is when you realize that there was going to be two girls. Like, outside of that, the trailer was bad. You're like, what? And it's this.
You're like, Scarlett Johansson, Penelope Cruz,
and Javier.
No, just them. That's all. I never Javier could have.
They'll be together in a bedroom naked.
Oh, and then there weren't. Those bastards.
No, they were. They just didn't show us the nakedness.
Bastards.
Anyways, yeah, so like, what do you think you want to watch this movie based on the trailer?
Not based on the trailer.
Exactly. I've said this before, and it sounds like Damon is on my side. Not based on the trailer, but yes, I do want to watch.
Based on the people who are working on this movie.
I guess I have to agree with you. It's based more on what the factors of the film rather than the trailer itself. But I like it, whatever.
Trailer's kind of bad.
Anyways, that's it, and we're going to be moving into our feature review this week of
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not...
Ow!
Hedwig!
Don't you know me, Kansas City? I'm the new Berlin Wall! Try and tear me down!
How did some slip of a girly boy become the internationally ignored song stylist barely standing before you?
Damn, handsome. I can't believe you're not a girl.
Looks like we got some sugar daddies in the house. You could give me a cavity, honey.
Now you're interested, huh?
Inch, not itch.
Intrigued. It is clear that I must find my other half. But is it a he or a she? Can two people actually become one? One day, in the late mid-80s, I was in my early late 20s.
I never knew that woman before that night, and I never knew she wasn't a woman.
I've got a sweet tooth. Songs exploded out of us. We were outgrossing monster trucks in Wichita.
When it comes to huge openings, a lot of people think of me.
I had tried singing once, and they threw tomatoes. So after the show, I had a nice salad. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, both of you.
Did you put a bra in a dryer?
Yes.
How many times do I have to tell you? You don't put a bra in a dryer. It warps.
Okay, everybody.
Hey boy, take a walk on the wild side.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
When I think about all the people I have come upon in my travels, I have to think about the people who have come upon me.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is I would like to ask Damien exactly what he knows about Hedwig, because it has been told to me, and it's fine, whatever, no big deal, right? Damien hasn't watched the movie yet. So what do you know about the movie?
Only what you people have told me about the movie.
And what's that?
That someone went in for operation and got it wrong.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie is about him kind of dealing with the...
Okay, so you haven't even... You haven't, like... And I'm not trying to, like, put this as an insult or anything or nothing like that, but you haven't look to see what the story is about or anything. Okay.
No, I try not to do that when I'm watching movies, because maybe I feel like it might spoil whatever
is in
the movie. Yeah, I agree with you. It's best to... It's the more
I want to, yeah, watch it blind and then afterwards I look up all of the extra nonsense.
All right, well, yeah. I mean, I think we have to at least go into the non-spoiler version for the podcast
Give them a little synopsis.
Yeah, so the synopsis here. Essentially what it is. There is this guy from West Berlin. Hedwig. Hedwig, actually, is how it's supposed to be pronounced. The W is a V. So
who do we get?
And he is the son of an American
GI.
GI, based there.
And knowing and, it's half the battle.
You know, it's half the battle. So the son of an American GI and a German lady, right? And so he grew up listening to all sorts of music, doing all sorts of things. There's not much there. But what this movie really focuses on is his
musical career.
His musical career, or lack thereof, and his obsession with this other guy by the name of Tommy Gnosis. Now, Tommy Gnosis is, you know, just a regular rich kid who got, you know, bored with his life or maybe angry at his parents, that kind of stuff. Got into the rock thing and was actually mentored by Hedwig. So, Tommy Gnosis, of course, steals his songs, gets famous, and then the movie itself is about Hedwig following Tommy Gnosis's huge tour. So, Tommy Gnosis would be, say, playing at a stadium that seats 100,000 people, where Hedwig would be playing the same exact music at a restaurant 2 blocks away that seats maybe 20. And, you know, that's hilarious just thinking about that. Right? And he'd always, you know, put in these little, he'd be singing the songs and then he'd say these little things, like he'd make these little jabs at Gnosis, like, you know, something that some certain other rock and roll artists may not understand is that, you know, he'd do that kind of thing. And essentially what this movie is, it's a fabulous musical. The music is great. It is a good, a well done film. I mean, if you think about when it was made ages ago. I think it was like 2000 it was made. The budget was crap, I'm sure. I remember reading a story about the fact that
2001,
yeah, okay. Yeah. I remember reading a story about how he would, because of course he, like Damon said, had a sex change operation. He looks like a lady, or tries to, and he would have to stop halfway in the day while he was shooting, and he had so much makeup on him that it didn't make sense to actually take off the makeup. What he did was he just shaved with the makeup on and then just like did a pat job and went back out there and worked on the rest of the movie, which is kind of, you know, fun. But so this movie is, you know, a musical about a desperate, obsessive and very bitter sex change a patient who, by the way, still has an angry inch. That's what the angry inch is about, right? So yeah, what did you think of this movie, Andrew?
All right, I watched it again for a second time this week.
A second time? Oh, I've seen this movie like, oh, I love it. Anyway,
right? And I mean, the first time I saw it with you, I have the same exact feeling that I had when I watched it the first time. I'm more impressed by the music than the actual film, right? And that's the one thing I love about musicals as a genre, right? That no matter how bad the movie is, as long as the music is wonderful, I can get behind it 100%. I can start singing along, I can start enjoying myself, whatever. I don't care about how bad the acting or the movie itself is. The music in this film is gorgeous. If you like want these rock and roll bands where their songs are so descriptive. One of my favorite songs is the one where he talks about the creation of Earth.
I love it, yes.
You know?
Yes, and where the guys split up and yeah. That's actually a proper mythology, I believe.
Okay, I didn't know that, but you know, whatever. I just love some of the music in this film. However, there was one thing that I picked up on the second time I watched this film, and I don't know if you'll agree with me or not. I don't know if you've seen this either. And I think this is actually a wonderful thought process to go through when you're watching movies, especially recently thinking about like Fight Club kind of movies,
do you think it's plausible
mm-hmm.
that Hedwig has made up this Tommy Gnosis character?
Damn you and your Ferris Bueller things.
And which is why in... Oh,
yep.
I won't say any more about
You're talking about the end.
Right.
Where, yeah.
I won't say any more because Damien hasn't seen it and I'm sure he's probably going to try and watch it sometime soon.
And we also have listeners that haven't seen this movie. I'm sure.
Right. But anyways, when you're watching this film, listeners, try and think for a moment. I'll try and watch it again to see if it's 100% foolproof. Try and think for a moment while you're watching it. Hedwig is making up Tommy Gnosis, right?
Just as almost as like a reason for the fact that he's not famous.
Yeah.
It's plausible. He'd be very however, he does actually talk to people about Tommy Gnosis. He does.
Talking about them, about a character that he's
and
made up.
And there's the agent lady.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a scene where he and the agent lady try to confront Tommy Gnosis.
They don't actually see him.
They don't actually see him. But they try to confront him. Why would this agent lady try to confront an imaginary person?
Maybe she realizes
maybe.
That he's mad.
But I know what you're going to say. You're probably going to say, oh, maybe he made up the agent lady too.
No. I wasn't going to say that. I'm going to say maybe they're going to confront an actual famous person. So that's why the event is there. However, his imagination has changed his name for Tommy Gnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing in the movie.
Mm.
So whenever she would say, we're going to go and confront the Rolling Stones, instead we would hear Tommy Gnosis.
I don't know. I think the the convenience of this argument is that it applies to every movie. Because any movie where you have something happen, you could say, he just made it up. You know? You know, you have, you know, a conversation between two people. You're like, oh, but he said that. Oh, maybe he just made it up.
I know.
So you could say that. You could give that argument for any piece of any movie and say that, you know, therefore this whole movie is just his imagination for anything. Yeah. So I...
Then that makes Rambo a better movie.
he made up the entire of China.
So I'm not a huge fan of this argument.
Or China made up Rambo.
Right.
They made it as an excuse for why the entire of the US forces beat him. It was one man.
Sweet.
But I can understand somebody putting it in this scenario because he's so bitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's so desperate. And he's so, you know,
and especially
angry.
And especially the fact that he ends up always playing two blocks down from Tommy Gnosis.
Yeah.
No matter where he is. And whenever...
But that's the point, though.
Yeah. The obsession, you know,
yeah.
It drives you and you kind of think about it. I mean, I believe it would work out as a theory, but, you know, whatever. As I said, I love the movie. I love the music in this movie, right? Douglas, what's your favorite song in this film?
Good question.
Rock Me
there
Sexy
was,
Jesus.
There was a long time where Angry Inch was actually my favorite song. And even though when I hear that song, I just smile. I love it.
You're a sick man.
But which song would be my favorite? Maybe I Take My Wig Off the Shelf, that one.
Okay.
And it's 1963, and I'm that one. I can't remember the proper name for it. But that could be my favorite one. No, just because it's so diverse. Because there is the slow portion. Not the slow portion. There's a portion where it's not just, you know, strictly hard rock, which is like the Angry Inch was strictly hard. And I like that about it. I like those hard songs where, you know, you can be like, yes, I'm going to pump myself up. And it's a good song as well. I also love your song, by the way. Because for you, the same reasons you like it, it's so descriptive. It the story itself is fantastic. It is very enthralling.
And then it helps a lot that during the film you have a huge animated sequence to it.
Exactly. So, yeah, that helps you understand what he's talking about. And the fact that not only is the story enthralling of the song, but the music and the performance are great too. And there's another thing that I love about this movie. This movie looks so real in terms of the performance. You know, there's some movies, some musicals where you watch it and you say, yep, lip syncing. You can't say that in this movie because most of these songs were actually formed right then and there, alive. Because he said that he didn't want that. So what he did was he went out there and he was like, you know what, I'm just going to pop alive.
Oh, it's like James Brown in the Blues Brothers.
There you go.
I love that story. That there's certain, in the Blues Brothers, there's certain performances which were done live and certain performances which were done off. Because a lot of the performers would tell you that they can't do it lip sync. Like James Brown, he never does anything the same.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
So what they did for that scene was his portion of it singing was done live, and they added the choir afterwards.
Hmm.
But anyways, that's nothing to do with Hedwig. Would you recommend this film and to people, and who?
He has.
Ooh, okay. Well,
many times.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Honestly,
no, but you see, I always believe when you recommend films, you always know who to recommend
true.
It to and who not to.
True. Now, I will tell you this. First off, I will recommend this to anybody I come into contact with.
Because you're you.
Because, exactly. Because,
but who do you think would actually
enjoy
it?
I know, I'm coming to that. No, I think this is an enjoyable movie, though it is a bit on the strange side. I think anybody with an open mind can enjoy this film.
So,
but,
the people who love High School Musical 3?
Well, they're not old enough to watch this movie. This is an R-rated film, remember.
Okay.
Okay, who I would definitely like have to, head gone. Who I would have to recommend this to is or are people who love musicals. You know, clearly.
So not me.
Not you. All right.
You don't like musicals?
People who like, you know, little indie films, little art house type films, because this is essentially an art house looking film.
Again, not me.
Okay, I know Damon is like, no.
I'd recommend it to people who are open about what they watch. They, you know, like, there are people who, for example, like me. I know there's a certain type of film that I like, but...
You'll never tell anybody.
Okay, there's that. But at the same time, I try to broaden my horizons. I don't try and like be like, no, I'm not going to watch that film because there are only two people who tote guns and not 20. I'm going to try and, you know, maybe I'll hate it, but I'll have actually watched it and then come to that opinion. So if somebody's open about the films that they watch, the movies that they watch, I'll say to them, watch it. Maybe you don't like it, maybe you do. For example, when I was watching it with him the first time, I kept looking over. I was like, I wonder if this guy likes this thing. It's kind of weird. Especially for like a Jamaican crowd. Any type of, you know, sex change, a man become woman type thing.
Angry.
The Jamaican thing. Exactly. You know, you're like, ooh, don't talk to me about that. But I think this is a fantastic movie. And I would, like I say, recommend it to anybody. But those three major categories are the people that who I definitely think about.
What about you, Damien?
What? What part of me not seeing this movie don't you understand?
I think I'd recommend this to most of my friends because they won't listen to me anyways. After I told Michelle to watch Clockwork Orange, she doesn't
yeah,
listen to me.
Yeah, but that's Michelle. It's like the worst example imaginable.
I'd recommend this to most people who like the offbeat musical, like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. That kind of...
I need to watch that movie again. I watched that movie once, you know, but I never watched it properly. What I did was have you ever been to one of these?
No,
events?
I haven't. The closest I ever got to something like that was going to the premiere for the Star Wars 3.
Wow.
Star Wars 3.
I don't think it's anywhere close, but I understand what you're trying to say. Right? But listen, the thing was fantastic. I had so much fun. You watch the movie, but you're not really watching the movie because people are in outfits, dressed up in front of the screen. I mean, you can see the screen, but whatever. Playing out the parts, and you are taking part in there too, and you're doing the... What's it called again? The something there shuffle, the... There's a dance in the middle of the movie.
The
rocket shuffle or some foolishness like
that.
And... I had so much fun, and I really want to watch it without all the glitz and the glamour and the rigmarole. Yeah, I want to watch it as itself and see if it's as good as I remember. I'm sure it is.
So yeah, those
because
are the kind
Tim Curry is awesome.
People who like that movie will definitely love this one because it's the same style where it's offbeat completely. The music is 100% of the film. If you, as I said, if the movie, if you don't enjoy the story itself, the music itself gives a story to each song, which is wonderful. And I think the actual composition of the songs, the production of the songs are amazing, right? So, as you said, musical people alone, I think I'd recommend this too.
Mm-hmm.
But more the offbeat kind of people.
Yeah.
And if you like this movie, another one I'd recommend to you, one we reviewed a long while back, is Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Yeah.
Who?
Though it's...
Who I actually discovered this weekend.
Yes, I know. I saw your tweet.
Giles from Buffy, who I've been watching for a while, is actually the one who played the Repo Man in Repo the Genetic Opera.
Yeah. But however, I have a question to ask you about this movie. You inferred or implied a while back, say 5 minutes ago, you said to me or you said to us that you can forgive a movie not being good if it has wonderful music, as a musical.
Yeah.
Are you saying that this movie isn't that good? Is that how you feel about this movie?
Watching it a second time, I wasn't really impressed by the acting or the story itself as much. I mean, I like the whole Anger Inch thing, but that plays into the song more than the actual story of the film. Like, mm-hmm. the Anger Inch song, amazing. The Sugar Daddy song, amazing.
Sugar Daddy, that's the name of the bloody song that I like.
You know, it's
the Sugar Daddy.
It's wonderful, and I love the music so much that I forgive it. And what was the scene which I found painful to watch? It was the one
closer to the end.
Yeah, it's closer to the end, so I don't really want to mention
it. No, but what was it?
It was. It had to do with a passport.
Oh, okay. Actually a story behind that, you know.
I wasn't really fond of that scene.
There's a few deleted scenes.
I haven't looked at them.
I'm not even sure if it's on my version. I would hope it is. It was on the version of the DVD that my roommate had in college. And it talks about how he meets up with the lady/man that is his sidekick. So that's kind of fun.
Get closer to the mic.
Oh, ha! Nobody can hear me. So yes, I was just saying, for those of you that could not hear me before, that there's a story behind the passport thing that Andrew's talking about, where Hedwig meets, I can't remember her name, but this lady that dresses up like a man and sings with him.
Yeah, so I don't have much else to say. So it's a good movie, especially the music. I don't really think anything else.
Bastard, you don't like my movie. I think my movie is fantastic. It just shows it. I don't know. It's the movie is just this huge. You know, it is the description. It is the molding and sculpting of this human who is, like I said, bitter and obsessed and devoted to the hatred of this figure that is Tommy Gnosis. And it's just...
I'm going to take the seen-unseen approach here based on all of the
And you haven't even seen a trailer or anything.
Yes, based on all of the information that I've heard so far, this movie is nonsense. And no one should watch it.
Listen, watch it before next week and tell me what you think.
Sure.
All right, so... We're going to sign off right there. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is some other youth.
You can listen to us on iTunes. You can get us off the site, gmanreviews.com.
Have you heard that it takes $30,000 to fill your iPod?
We are also available on Podcast Alley.
Yes, we are. You can search for us on Podcast Alley.
And Andrew is available on Twitter. His name is G-Man Reviews. My name is DJ R Lost His Name.
And Damien's is...
I refuse.
I'm going to make an account.
I couldn't care less.
The fake Damien White.
One other thing. A couple weeks ago, we made a bold statement. We're heading towards film spotting. Next week, we're going to review old classic movies.
Yeah, yes. We're going to start a classic film marathon.
It's about time, because we're really ignorant.
I've actually watched the movie that we're reviewing next week already, so there.
Okay.
We're reviewing Casablanca, it is, right?
Yes, Casablanca, yes.
As well as
we'll be reviewing Last Chance Harvey.
You must remember.
Wait, stop. Two movies reviews?
Yes.
What?
The classic film is separate from...
Did you not see how long I was at work today?
You can watch it on Saturday, when you usually ignore it.
Ask him how long I work for on Saturdays.
You heard the question?
No, I thought you were going to ask.
Why?
He works from like what? 10 to...
To like, what? To what?
To like 5.
5! I don't even get a break, you know. I don't eat lunch.
Oh my god, 5 hours. Must
7 hours.
Criminal.
That's 7 hours.
5, wait. He
ten
works from
to
10
five.
To 7 hours.
But then, no. This is not just 10 to 5, you know. Mm-hmm. I have to get up from 6 to like prepare. I have to also be awake late the night before to prepare for all these classes that I have.
It sounds like a personal problem. I don't see why I have to do it this Saturday and you watch movies.
He's like, you can watch the movies on Saturday
but
when you have lots of work to do.
But
when
you're
going to see Angels and Demons?
Actually, I'm not certain. Right? Just to let you know from now.
Just to let you know we're not going on Thursday. That's not happening.
Okay, good, because I don't think I can go on Thursday.
Anyways, yeah, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. And tune in Wednesday nights when we broadcast live, hopefully. Good night. I get down. I feel hot. Feel on the verge of going mad. And then it's time to punch the clock. I put on some makeup. Tick deck and put the wig back on my head. Suddenly I'm Miss Midwest Midnight Checkout Queen. Until I head home and I put myself to bed. I look back on where I'm from. Look at the woman I've become. And the strangest things seem suddenly routine. I look up from my vermouth on the rocks. A gift wrapped wig spinning on the box of towering velveteen. I put on some makeup. Some love and breakup.